You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Danny, big day for the Nationals. A lot of things to get to here, so we'll just go rapid fire. They made an announcement today at 11 a.m. that they are going to have jersey patches. Doesn't sound like that big of a deal. Sounds like one of those business things that fans shouldn't care about.
Right.
Except that this is not that. So it's an AARP patch. So I say that and have to keep from smiling, and there's jokes to be inserted. But they were the only team in Major League Baseball without naming rights on their ballpark or a jersey patch until today. It's just money that you've been turning down while essentially saying you're not getting enough money. So this is kind of three-pronged in terms of what we blame that on. The Masson deal, which has been resolved. Not having naming rights on your ballpark is an easy way to make some cash. And then getting a patch. And we don't know the parameters of the deal. It could be for $1 million or two a year. It could be for $7 million a year. I don't really know. But this doesn't mean they're going to go sign an ace pitcher. This doesn't mean that Kyle Tucker's coming to play the outfield as an MVP candidate next year, like most of us want. But it is a sea change in for their entire existence. This ownership group has said, we're not putting a patch on our jerseys until we get what we ask for. And my guess is at the middle of another losing season, the number didn't come up before a work stoppage looming. They just decided it's time to take 78 cents on the dollar. And so if they're willing to do that, are they willing to put naming rights on the ballpark? Are they willing to do other things differently? That's why today was a big deal.
Right, and I want to be very clear. This doesn't do anything. It doesn't make you play better. It doesn't make the slider snap harder or line drive contact more likely. It doesn't do anything for most fans. But the big picture is the point that you just raised. Because of the pathology of this ownership group, which has said, we believe, I'm just making these numbers up, we believe this is worth $1. And someone goes, I'll give you 81 cents. And they go, no, it's worth a dollar. And nobody says it's worth a dollar except for them. And then they take nothing instead of 81 cents or 77 cents or 91 cents, whatever the number is. And that's been the case for many things, frankly, in this organization's history. And it's emblematic of, again, how this ownership group has done business their way. They made billions doing it their way in different industries. This one kind of hasn't worked in a lot of cases. So this is, whether it's a sea change, whether someone met their asking price, I don't know the particulars. Not really that concerned about it, to be honest with you. But it is the first time this has happened, so that's why it's significant. Again, if you're a fan going, yeah, man, I still remember the 11-game losing streak. That wasn't that much fun. I'm still kind of annoyed they didn't spend this offseason. That hasn't changed. You can still be annoyed, but this is why it's important.
Yeah, I would go as far as to say, too, like the Caps have had a jersey patch. I think it's TikTok right now. For years, and when they announced that, it did not make me bat an eye.
Right.
I didn't break stride. I didn't care about it. We wouldn't have talked about it on the show. It's a nothing burger. This is different because it goes against what this team has been known for years and years and years. And when we're trying to get any kind of inclination and indication that we can about where the ownership group is at this moment, it's a tell that maybe, just maybe, some things could be shifting, and maybe the next stop is getting off the metro at the let's get naming rights for the ballpark stop. Mm-hmm. You know, we just got off the train at jersey patches today. If we hop back on one stop up, How do we know it's not Pepsi Park? You know, coming in 2 months or something. Although I hope it would be Coca-Cola Classic, respectfully. They do have Coca-Cola at the ballpark.
Which is nice.
It's the right way to go.
I wouldn't want the change, then you got to, I don't want to go down that road.
Nobody wants
imagine
to deal
that.
With that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast!
Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam! Baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've been doing this thing, and we're going to keep doing this thing. We like it. We're going to spin the wheel to talk about a member of the Local 53. It's important as we get ready for training camp, which is coming sooner than you think. So, Daris, I don't know what player we're going to land on, but let's spin that wheel.
Robinson on second and one. He's got the first down. The 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Brian Robinson!
Struggled against it all year long.
Another run.
Robinson! Not gonna stop him! Robinson! Touchdown! Commanders!
Need a half a yard for the first down. And into a crowd.
Robinson comes out of the crowd! Robinson Jr. inside the 20 of the Giants. Now that was a magic trick.
Robinson walks in. Touchdown, Washington.
Brian Robinson, running back for your Washington 53 Tubes. An interesting subject here this offseason.
Very interesting.
For a lot of folks. Now, I don't know if he was responding to you or responding to somebody else. I have no idea when he was tweeting about keeping the same energy. I don't know if he was talking to me or whatever. But this is a fascinating case. Three straight years has been between 733 and 799 yards. 797 as a rookie. Injury shortened. We all know what happened, what he overcame. Again, it's insane that the football player got shot in his knee and then played football that year.
Yeah.
We should always go, oh my God, that's incredible. I like that guy personally. That is a tough, nasty son of a gun. I want that dude on my side in a bar fight, in a dark alley, on my roster. There is a place for Brian Robinson. But we're now kind of at the point where we go, don't we know what this is with him as a running back? And don't we want something else, maybe? That's how I feel. Although last year, career highs in rushing yards, 799. Career highs in yards per attempt, 4.3, which doesn't blow your skirt up, but still pretty good. And career high in touchdowns in 8. I would argue that's kind of a product of the system and product of a good offense, giving a guy goal line chances. But I digress. So I turn it to you, Tobes. Where are we at on Brian Robinson?
Yeah, I like Brian Robinson, the guy. I have no issue with him. But I think having him as your lead back is not something I would do. He's more so my power back if I were building this offense. I want someone who's extra explosive, someone that when I'm running a read option, the way that I see it in my mind is Jaden gets played by the defensive end. They don't want him to get outside. You hand it off to the running back, and he breaks one tackle, and he's gone for 70 yards. And that's not going to happen with Brian Robinson. And he's been solid. He was solid last year, but he's nothing more than that to me, Danny. And I want something special at the running back position because for so long, basically the entire second half of last season, the running game was non-existent. You've talked about this ad nauseum, saying that what they were able to do was kind of an anomaly by playing ball control football without a traditional run game. And they did that because you've got a special quarterback. But I'd like to get back into being able to turn around and hand the ball off and take a little bit off of Jaden's plate so that when you need him to be special, he can still be special, but you're not always relying on that. And so for having Brian Robinson as your lead back, I'm not totally on board with that. He had some good moments last year. Like, I thought he was really good in that Tennessee game. Remember, first time he touches the ball, he goes for 40 yards and a touchdown. He went 16 for 103. But if you go past that game, in New Orleans, 21 for 65. Against Philly the second time out, 10 for 24. On Sunday Night Football against Atlanta, 13 for 60. And then 5 for 10 in the final week. In the postseason, he was 10 for 16 against Tampa, so relatively ineffective. He was good against Detroit, 15 for 77 and 2 touchdowns. And then against Philly in the NFC Championship, not like they were going to do much running when they were down, but 11 for 36. So he's just inconsistent, and he's not really that home run hitter. I have no issue with him being a part of the football team as your change of pace back of sorts or your power back of sorts where you give the guy 50, 60, 70 carries on the season. Mm-hmm. But where you have this dude be your lead back with 187 carries, I'm not as on board with that. But we'll see. Maybe the improved offensive line, maybe he can get more holes to work with. But at times last year, it felt like he was running a little bit too timid for my liking. But it almost felt like in that Atlanta game, when they put in Chris Rodriguez as a change of pace,
you could sort of see the burst and the difference.
So where was that is what I'm asking.
So for me, God, it just sounds like I'm beating up on the guy. And I don't mean to do that at all. I just don't think he's got a great vision. I don't think he's got the quicks or the burst or that jump cut or that quick change that I care about and value so much in my running backs.
Yeah.
The previous regime and this one clearly feel differently. They have prioritized this multiple times over. So what they see and what I see are very different things. And obviously, they know more than I do. That's not, well, both, even the incompetents that were bad at this know more than I do. I just don't, it doesn't excite me. Watch what feels like holes that are missed. Watch obvious avenues that I can see on television go, oh, if you just, oh, damn it, 2 yard gain. Whereas if you had cut, if you had some wiggle, you could have done more. Now, there's still value for him where it's got to go off tackle. I need my yard and a half. And damn it, he's getting 3 because he's carrying three piles of bodies with him. I still want him on my team. I'll do my goal line plunge with him or fake the goal line plunge with him or my and one with him. He's going to play for me. I'm not doing 200 carries. He will not lead my team in carries. And they don't seem to want to move on. They don't seem to value the thing that I value. It's not as if he hasn't had good games. He has. You heard the highlights that I think it was a 4th-and-1 against the Giants where he goes into a pile, comes out of it for the 40-yarder. Otherwise, it's, you know, 16 for 60. Otherwise, it's a lot of, these pedestrian kind of plotting games where I know you've got to make defenses susceptible. I know you've got to make defenses, the way it was explained to me years ago, Tobes, is in a boxing match, there's nothing sexy about a jab to the belly, right? You don't get the knockout. You don't score the knockout that way. I mean, occasionally you see like Oscar De La Hoya get punched in the kidney and go down like a ton of bricks.
Yeah,
but for the most part,
very rare.
The body blow is the thing that just annoys you. And it annoys you. And you cover, and you cover, and you cover, and you cover, but you got to respect it. And that's when that Mike Tyson Tiger uppercut knocks you on your ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the play action happens. This was the Gibbs philosophy. He's sitting there cackling, loving it when Gerald Riggs would run for 2.8 yards per carry in a game. Because he knows he's a pain in the butt to tackle. He knows that you've got to account for it. Otherwise, you know, he slips through. So I understand the pathology. It's just not for me. I wanted them so badly to do better. And they didn't. Or do something different, at least. Go down a different track. And they didn't. They passed up every opportunity you'd have. I'm not saying you had to sign J.K. Dobbins. And maybe Merritt is the guy.
Yeah.
And maybe we just don't know it yet. But I just can't sit there and count my chickens on the seventh rounder.
Exactly. You can't count on a seventh rounder. And to me, going into the draft, they were one weapon shy. Didn't really matter what we went with, whether it was a true number two receiver, because Debo's kind of that weapon, whether it was maybe a vertical seam-stretching tight end, or an explosive running back. And I think after they left the draft, like you said, maybe Ja'Cory Merritt is this guy, but I'm not going to count on the seventh rounder right away. I still feel like they're that. I still feel like they're a weapon shy. But maybe they're looking at it saying, we didn't create enough holes for him. We didn't create enough push in the run game. And saying, look at the offensive line now, where you go across that unit, assuming Sam Cosmi's healthy when he comes back. You're looking at Laremy Tunsil, who's plus at left tackle. Now, he's not a road grader, but he's a good pass blocker. You look at left guard, you're looking at Brandon Coleman, who I think can be a really good run blocker. I think he can really move the pile there. Tyler Biadasz is a plus. Sam Cosmi's a plus. I think as time goes on, Josh Connerly's going to be a plus. Suddenly, you've got a good offensive line. Maybe they're looking at it saying, it wasn't necessarily that Brian Robinson was great last year or anything, but we don't have to upgrade the running back position if we upgrade the offensive line. I think that's kind of their thought process, but I don't fully agree.
That's what the actions say, right? I mean, it was the same thing we talked about here for weeks with the defense, where their solution to me to have a better pass defense was to have a better rush defense. You know, it's like that old saying, like, if you can't stop anybody, try to outscore them, and that's how you help your defense. Yeah. Make teams one-dimensional. That seems to be the fix, is Coleman's now a guard. Enter Tunsil and enter Connerly. That's how the run game gets better. Because your run game is always going to be based off of Jaden Daniels and action. So you're both enhanced by that and limited by that. It means a lot of pistol, a lot of shotgun, a lot of lining, you know, a lot less eye formation, fullback, Adrian Peterson style, lead blocker, etc. So it's a different animal, which again is more reason for me why I want a scat back. It's more reason why I want two Ecklers, three Ecklers. I want nothing but, you know, pass catching, pass blocking, spread and space type guys. But the thought is you spread guys out and have the thumper go through the hole and try to inflict some damage that way. It's just not what I would do.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But speaking of the Commanders, it is time to spin the commander wheel, Danny. We're going to do this leading up to training camp. We're going to spin the wheel. We've got player options. It's going to land on a player. Darius will then let us know who it is, and that player is going to be the topic of conversation for us for the rest of the hour here. So without further ado, our first spin of the commander wheel.
Senate.
With the 53rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Ben Sinnott.
Wide open downfield, Ben Sinnott. They're very high on Sinnott, and you can see why. Carrying tacklers with him. Fake it, Mariota throws it, caught by Sinnott. Touchdown! The first of his NFL career, rookie out of Kansas State.
Here's Tressway. Oh, it's a fake. We're going to throw. He's got a man wide open, and it's caught. Sinnott, the third tight end. What a fake by Washington, and the rookie delivers for the drive continues.
Going into this year, getting a full offseason, getting my body back, knowing the offense and already having those chemistry built. So just one that's ready to get better and hopefully build a big role in this team.
Nicely put together package on Ben Sinnott by Darius, who dug deep into the archives there. He found three Ben Sinnott highlights.
Three of the four.
I mean, that
the preseason catch was great.
Preseason catch, fake punt in the NFC Championship game. Darius was in his bag right there, boys and girls. Five catches for 28 yards, and you heard the touchdown for Ben Sinnott as a rookie last season. Now, it would be easy to come down on him for having a bad rookie season statistically. He got no opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is actually a good thing, probably. He was an insurance policy for Zach Ertz. I think when you bring in Ertz, who hadn't been able to stay healthy in years, you knew that if he goes down, you're going to have a problem at tight end, and it made the position still a need behind him on the depth chart, which is part of why they drafted Ben Sinnott where they did, at 53rd overall in the second round. You just heard the draft pick. But the big fella, 6'4", 247, didn't play a lot. When he did play, he mostly blocked and had just the five catches. So, Danny, let's look back first at the rookie season. How much of him not getting on the field more is about him? I mean, if he was lighting it up in practice, if he was,
if you couldn't keep him off the field, you wouldn't have kept him off the field.
Clearly, he would have gotten more looks, right? Or did he just have no chance, nothing to do with it?
So I think he had a part in it, and it sounds like an indictment to a degree. Some of it, as you said, is the Ertz success. And, you know, John Bates being the more dedicated blocker, so it didn't leave as much of a role for him to kind of get on the field by default. But he didn't also beat the door down either here, by all accounts, right? So it could take, especially coming from a different college system and a different type offense where you're not necessarily asked to do some of these things. I've heard some smart people smarter than me, say that if you don't come from a pure pro-style system where you're asked to do almost the exact same identical things you're doing at the next level, it could take a minute for some tight ends. Now, there's some guys that are so talented, you don't care. Brock Bowers, I don't really care if you're doing the same things or not. I'm throwing you the ball 140 times, we'll figure it out, right? But for someone that's got to use his physicality, be around the line of scrimmage, you know, chip and block tight defensive ends and get on the second level to linebackers and work routes a certain way, maybe there's a learning curve there. So it's not to slam the gavel and say he'll never be good, but so far, not much return on investment from that pick to this point. And I think some of that is him. Again, not to say that it'll never happen, that he'll never figure it out, but you need more from that guy, and I think this is the year it needs to happen.
What percentage of offensive snaps do you think he played last year, if you had to guess?
20?
27%. A little over a quarter of snaps. More than I would have thought, honestly. 311 offensive plays he was on the field for. Now, it goes without saying that you know, as a tight end, you're just in line a lot of the time, mm-hmm. doing some blocking. You're an extra tackle, essentially, a bunch. Because we could just look at the target share to see how often you're actually involved in the passing game. And in fact, he only had 5 passes thrown to him on over 300 plays, which I think also says something. I mean, I don't know how many of the 311 were passing plays, but let's just say conservatively that 225 were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's not even a 311. Let's divide it by 2. Let's
call
say,
it 160.
Yeah, I think that's a good number.
A little over halfway.
150, 160, something like that. If they were that many passes, only 5 times did Jaden Daniels throw you the ball. Like, we have a thing called, we can look that up, like where targets when you're on the field on pass attempts percentage, super low. That needs to be bumped up. But if you're the second tight end, a lot of the times you're just, you might be fourth. You might be the last line of defense, so to speak, for the quarterback where he's about to get sacked and you're the guy he dumps it down to. I am still high on him. And I say that with some trepidation. I have to acknowledge that to have as uninvolved a season as he did and as ineffective a season as he did as a pass catcher, clearly there was something he was doing that wasn't good enough for them. Because I just have a hard time believing if you drafted a guy at 53, Danny, it's round 2.
Yeah.
If a dude's out there at practice shaking and baking, making dudes look bad, there is no way you don't involve him. And Zach Ertz was good, really good, actually. Second half of the season, I thought he was dynamite. NFC Championship game, he dominated. He had double-digit catches. He had some really, really big games.
Yes.
But it's also not like he was the type of weapon where you can't spell him. You know, we called him No-Yak Zach for a good portion of the year because while he got open and he helped Jaden Daniels, he was kind of a catch-and-fall guy. So I guess my point is, I think this is a twofold story. If I'm doing a blame pie for Sinnott being a non-contributor in year one, I'll say 65% was probably opportunity. 35% or so was something that he wasn't doing. And maybe it should be 70, 30, 75, 25. But I still like what I saw. If I'm basing almost all of this on a preseason game. Mm-hmm. On a couple catches at training camp and a catch against the Jets in the preseason where he carried dude down the field. Like 4 guys down the field and made a play after the catch. But I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. It's like going and scouting a high school pitcher, seeing him dot 94 on the black and rip off a breaking ball. I'll take him in the first round and I'll make pitching coaches figure the rest out. Get this guy where I need him to go as he fills out and gets stronger. I've seen Sinnott look like a beast. Now I need you to figure out how to make it happen.
To me, it's closer to 55-45 circumstances. And then the other part's him.
I mean, you blame him a little more than I do.
Yeah. And it sounds like, but I'm not doing that at all. I'm saying, like, at some point, I need you to be more of a threat than John Bates. I know Bates is on the field more than you, and we'll end up just getting looks there, but that's part of the equation. Jeremy McNichols out-targeted him 3-1 almost. You know, like, at some point, what is it you do here? Now, I'm hoping this year is that where you hit the ground running. This is the year that you've got the sea legs underneath you. You've had the apprenticeship under Zach Ertz, and you slowly but surely take over for him because there's a chance he's far more dynamic than Ertz, as we referenced the catch and fall situation. And if this goes great, you're sort of passing the baton between the vet to the kid, and Ertz still has a role for me. But Sinnott, again, is a second-round pick. I keep coming back to that. You look at their second round, not a huge return on investment yet from Johnny Newton. I think there's upside there, but still you haven't had it yet.
And he actually played enough that he could have showed more than he did.
Rotational guys.
He was okay.
Sandra still, yes, that's a win. Although, you didn't take Cooper DeJean. You didn't take Kulen McKinstry. You didn't take Roger Rosengarten, who went after Ben Sinnott. Guys that played and did really well at positions where you go, damn, they could have used that guy. So they went in on this. And Adam Peters evoked Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle. When talking about what they envision for him, I'd love 40% of that next year.
Right.
Or 20% of that. Well, that's more than 5 catches.
And this was the point I was making last year every time the draft class came up, is I think the success of Jaden Daniels, which is the most important thing.
Without a doubt.
It's kind of the thing. So if you just want to give it an A and never think about it again, I'm okay with that. But I think because of how good he was, we didn't really have enough discussion about how little they got from some other really important pieces. And they, on a batting average, like, hit enough base hits. Mikey Sanristil was really good. Brandon Coleman played tackle and is going to be, I think, an outstanding guard. So this is not the Ron Rivera, Marty Party ops.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. But Luke McCaffrey was a top 100 pick. Gave you nothing at receiver, basically. Ben Sinnott was picked just outside of the top 50. A team like Washington is not drafting and stashing at tight end at 52, 53, I guess he was.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Like, you need more out of him. So it's time to give him some chances. Now, as you said, the status quo remains at tight end because they brought back Ertz. They had a chance not to. They brought back Bates. They had a chance not to. Bates, they love as a blocker. The less you throw him the football, the happier I'll be. But I think it's time to involve Ben Sinnott. And if you don't, it does tell me that you're just not that high on how much he can help you. Like, it doesn't make sense in his second year to say, we got Zach Ertz, man. It's not a position like that. This is not left tackle or center or something where you don't get reps, where you don't split time, where you can't have two guys on the field, where if he's just a weapon who can win some matchups, you can't put him out in the slot every now and then and tell him to work on a linebacker or put him off the edge and throw him in a ball in the flat to rumble a little bit. Line him up. You want to call him Kyle Juszczyk? Put him in the backfield in a split eye.
Or do something. I mean, this goes back to where Washington couldn't get on board with this and couldn't quite figure this out years ago, where they had their two of their four best offensive players both happened to be tight ends, and Chris Cooley and Fred Davis. And it was like, well, we can't play two. We're sort of stuck. The hell you can't? Look at New England. Now, I know, you know, the journey and career of one went south, but when you had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez opposite each other, they were a matchup nightmare for people, right? And they figured it out that this is your best chance. If he was one of their three or four best offensive weapons, you don't think he'd have been on the field too?
Do you have the same pause that I do just saying his name out loud?
Yeah, it's like I'm going, I had to couch this really, really carefully,
It's just so weird.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, I won't even compare what it's like, but there's certain things when you say, like, names of human beings all the uh-huh. time, when you say them out loud, you just fill with anxiety.
Yeah, it's like,
He's one of them.
Yeah, there's a list. We can make one during the break.
I mean, there's some other Netflix documentaries, uh-huh. you know, like, in a row that I've watched, and it's like, there's a guy, you know, but you're right. That tight end room with Gronk and Hernandez, that wrote the book on you can make this work if you want to.
Yeah, there's no more like, okay, you're a tight end. We have a one tight end set. You will go in next play. No. Your best offensive players on the field. If it's a matchup problem, which it would be, if you had two of a tight end that could run the way it looks like he can run, I would love for you to go nickel. Oh, please go nickel. I'll knock his ass into next week. Okay, fine. Let's go base defense. I'll run right by you. Yes, that's the point of a guy like that.
Terry McLaurin, let's get you the latest on what's going on with Terry and the Commanders. So, for the most part, when this has come up on the show, I think the show mantra has been, it's going to work out. There's no reason it's not going to. And I still subscribe to that. I still think that's the case. But the progress that you're looking for or what you'd want to be happening does not seem to be happening right now. In fact, there was a report over the weekend from Albert Breer about the Terry McLaurin negotiations, where he said talks between the team and the star wide receiver are, quote, not in a great place. Went on to say that the two sides are expected to pick talks up again in the next few weeks. But not in a great place is very different than it's inevitable. This is imminent. He's going to get a deal done ahead of training camp. So then today on ESPN with Pat McAfee, Adam Schefter was asked about Terry McLaurin and the Commanders and the ongoing conversation between the two parties. And I would say he feels similarly to what Breer said when he said it's not in a great place. This was Schefter today on ESPN. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Grant and Danny as he discussed the negotiation with McLaurin. But I wish it was at a better place.
Right. I always wonder, you know, who benefits here, right? Whose word are we sort of reviewing or seeing? And, you know, there is this pressure being applied to one side or the other? I don't know. Or is it just the true state of the union? Whenever info like this comes out about a negotiation where everybody's going to grumble a little bit, everyone's going to not feel as good, this is part of the normal proceedings, but it still remains. He is unsigned, and the contract terms have not been agreed to. So this is part of a lot of negotiations in the history of pro sports have gone this way, be it coach, be it player, be it star, be it middling player, be it free agent, whatever. This is normal, but still, it's our little Terry. And Terry, the association with Terry is no problems. Well, I'm not saying anyone's a problem yet, but this is now a, hey, this is unresolved. The longer it goes that way, the more it creeps toward problems.
Well, it's a problem. The question is it a problem that is going to fix itself before it becomes an issue?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a problem that actually could grow some hair, right? I mean, when your best player on offense and outside of your quarterback, when one of the most important players in your organization is at odds with the team, it really doesn't matter what the date is or whether there's something that needs to be done on the field in a week. Like, that's not a good thing.
No.
And that's very clearly where they are when Breer says they're not close. When Adam Schefter, who you'll hear from in a moment, has issues where he says, I'm talking to both sides, and what I can gather is, like, they're not on the same page right now. So this feels a little bit different than last time. But what I find so compelling about this is this front office, correctly, which has batted as close to 1,000 as you can since Adam Peters took over and hired a bunch of really good executives like Lance Newmark to come in from other places, has gotten the benefit of the doubt from fans. And I think for the most part, the fan base is team, don't question Adam Peters. When you bring up an issue, they say, Adam Peters will figure it out. Don't question him. He's smart. But it's the same fan base, as you said, where Terry McLaurin can do no wrong. So I would just be really curious, if they're not agreeing at all.
Right. Unstoppable force, immovable object.
You got to pick a side here.
Yeah.
Is it McLaurin, who it sounds like wants elite wide receiver money, maybe close to top of the market money? I think he'd be crazy to ask for like Chase or Jefferson money, but maybe he wants CeeDee Lamb money at $34 million a year or something, or the team that probably wants to pay him down closer to upper 20s with T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk. You know, that kind of, that's a big difference,
yes.
$5, $6 million per year, clearly. And that's going to be our poll of the day. You can go vote right now on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account on our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best in class service and experience. In a stare down where the reports are that they're not close, whose side would you be on? McLaurin, who says, I deserve to be paid like one of the best wide receivers in the league, or the team that says, at your age, with where we're headed right now, it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to do that. So you can go vote. This was Schefter on McAfee.
That's a tough one. I know there is an up. There's no update, which is the update. And that's the problem. The problem is with this particular situation, I think Terry McLaurin is going to argue that we've seen other wide receivers who his numbers are comparable to, like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and DK Metcalf, get paid over $30 million a year this offseason. And I think the Commanders then can say yes, but Mike Evans, who also has had comparable numbers, is at $24 million. So there really is quite a difference and a gap between what both sides would want. They have not made any progress. I would think that we'll see if there are any teams that decide to come snooping around Terry McLaurin to see if they could try to pry loose Terry McLaurin, who, by the way, I cannot envision the Commanders moving on from, no matter how disgruntled he may be. Again, it's sort of like T.J. Watt. You can't imagine that these two sides, as far apart as they are today, wouldn't be able to somehow find a way to bridge their differences and figure out a solution. But today, McLaurin and the Commanders are not close. Watt and the Steelers are not close. And those will be two of the storylines that we are tracking as we get ready for training camp.
Adam Schefter on ESPN. Not close.
Mm.
They have not made any progress. That's what he's saying about this. Now, he did acknowledge the same thing I always say, the same thing I think you think, which is he's going to bet on them coming together because it just makes too much sense that the team that wants culture guys and true commanders would keep the ultimate commander, the lieutenant commander, and that Terry, who's been a non-problem his entire career, wouldn't agitate to the point where you've got to trade him. So I think most of us look at it and go, somehow, some way, they're going to figure this out. But when does that start happening?
Yeah, this is what I wondered a few weeks ago when I was like, what's the walk-away point for somebody? Because it exists, right? You don't just get everybody that, well, we love you. Here's a blank check. We got to run a team. We got to run an organization. no matter how valued you are at a given company, they don't just pay you unlimited, right? You don't just get to go $1 trillion like you're Dr. Evil, and then that's the end. There's a point where the team has to say, no, we can't do that. And are you willing to compromise it all? Maybe he's not. So that's something I don't know. Again, the tenor could just be everyone's playing hardball now, but when we get close to training camp, as has happened before, everybody makes nice. All of a sudden, the compromise happens, and you know the agent grinding this out and you know keeping everybody apart got him an extra $1.5 million in guaranteed money. I mean, who knows where this ends up? But there is a point where you'd have to go, this is not worth it to us. I mean, from the and this is why arbitration in baseball can be so ugly, where you get basically people or the team arguing against a player. But what's happening is, if I'm the team, I'm going, you've never had an elite wide receiver season. This may be tough to hear. Your touchdown numbers were great. You never had 1,200 yards. You're not a 90-catch guy. You're not a 100-catch guy. It ain't what. That's not what it looks like. You're not Jamar Chase or CeeDee Lamb or you know Garrett Wilson last year on a terrible offense. You've never done that. Now, I know there are reasons maybe why you've never done that, but you've still never done that. We can't pay you at the top.
Well, if let's take this at the numbers that Schefter threw out there. Which is, because I don't think he just picks these randomly. Somebody's mentioned something to him.
Yeah, the comps, yeah.
So he says he wants over $30 million, and he cited DK Metcalf, which is a very reasonable comp. In fact, I said when DK got that deal, well, that's Terry's number. Because if you're the agent, I think they have the same agent, by the way. But regardless, if you're the agent for Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf gets about $33 million, look at their numbers over their careers and productivity. That's where Terry McLaurin wants to be. So let's just say he's looking for $33 million, which, by the way, would make him the fourth highest paid player in the NFL. Now, we can go back to our NFL Economics 101 class with Kirk Cousins years ago, because I can already hear the people yelling in their cars, he's not the fourth best wide receiver in the league. And while that's true, that's not how it works, right? So a guy got paid because he was the most recent guy to get paid, and DK, who you feel like you can comp to, and now it's your turn, and that's what you're asking for. So it'd be Chase at 40.2, Jefferson at 35, CeeDee Lamb at 34, and then McLaurin at 33. That might be, according to Schefter, what he's asking for, over 30. Guys that are in that over 30 range are A.J. Brown, who I think is better than McLaurin, and nobody would dispute that. That's 32 per year, so the team could hold that against him. Tyreek Hill at $30 million per year is it? Problem child and the guy you don't want in your locker room, but he's been a way more impactful player.
You're removed from 1,800 yards.
Right. Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, $30 million. I think Terry could make the case. He's every bit as good. That's part of why I think this market, as I look at it right now, Danny, is so complicated.
Yes.
Because there's normally the money is a lot closer to like quality in a ranking, and this is not the case. It's kind of staggered where Hill and Ayuk make the same money. T. Higgins makes less than A.J. Brown by, or rather D.K. Metcalf by like $4 million. I mean, it's just more complicated, I think, than a lot of other positions because of that. But if we're going by these numbers, and this is how we could set this up maybe on the phones, we can open them up at 800-636-1067 for you guys, where Schefter's saying the team's probably looking at Evans making 24.5 this year, and the AAVs there are like Nico Collins, who's awesome, makes 24.3. Devontae Smith, number two because of A.J. Brown, but really good player, makes 25 mil. D.J. Moore makes 27.5. So they're going, that's a range where we could work. And McLaurin's saying he wants 6, 7 million more maybe than where they're talking about. It's not as easy. You could split the difference when you're 2, 3 million apart.
Yeah.
If I'm saying I'll pay you 24, 25, and you're saying I want 33, well, it's not as easy to pay you 4 million more against the cap. That's a big, big number. That's a few starters. So that's the issue they're having. But whose side would you be on to our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day if it's 24 versus 32 or something like that?
Right. I mean, to me, I'll root for the team after Terry McLaurin doesn't play here anymore. I mean, that's kind of my default. Now, with a given person, with a given player, I'm all in favor of guys doing everything they can to get as much as they can for the limited windows they're allowed to get it. Right? Take your bites at the apple. Do your thing. Almost always favor player over management, just in an individual dispute, because the team, management, whatever, can cut you the first instant you're not useful. The first moment they go, you know what? You didn't do anything wrong, but we don't like you anymore. You don't have a guaranteed contract. You're out of here. It's cheaper to us to pay a few million dollars in dead cap money than to have you around. So guys get cast aside. So in general, I advocate for player. But to me, at a certain point, I got to field a roster of 53, and this is bigger than you. And I love Terry McLaurin. This is not indicting him in any way. This is not negative against him at all. But if it's too much, you know what? That's a concern, I guess, for lack of a better way to say
it. But if he's not asking, I'm just going to assume he's not asking for 40. And he's asking for 32 in a world where DK Metcalf makes 33. That shouldn't be too much necessarily, right? I mean, I'm not telling you it's good business. I don't think the contract in the end will be good. And maybe right there what I just said is enough for you to say, then they shouldn't do it. But I do think this one is harder than that. They're not paying Deebo Samuel. If Deebo Samuel was McLaurin in terms of the production in San Francisco and kind of the same exact guy going into this final year of the deal, and we were having the debate, it would be really easy for me where I go, no, I'm not paying you. Sorry, that's bad business. But this is not that. This is the team building the culture around this identity of this create a player that they've kind of said is a commander. And the personification of that is Terry McLaurin. If you get out of the video game of what we want a commander to be, on day one, Dan Quinn points at the board. Here's our vision for a commander. It's just Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, it's a mannequin of Terry McLaurin.
That's what it is. It's a installation made out of string in a Dick's Sporting Goods in the stadium in the concourse level of Terry McLaurin, right? I think the team is right if those are the numbers that the two sides are on. He is more of a $25 million a year wide receiver than he is a $34 million a year wide receiver based on the market. There's no doubt in my mind. But is being right going to do damage? This could be a situation where standing your ground actually hurts you a little bit. You know, if you're a head coach of some youth team and you preach for a month, we're not cutting anybody. And if you eat clean and you show up early, you make the team. That's all it takes. I don't care how good you are. Eat clean. We're going to have a nutritionist that's going to, you know, do a food journal with you. And you show up every single day early, you'll be on this roster. And then the guy that ate the cleanest and lost the most weight and showed up the earliest doesn't make the team. It probably isn't really good for culture building and morale.
Totally.
And that's the part I do worry about here that goes outside of these numbers.
That all makes sense to me. There still has to be, and again, I don't know the answer to this. There still has to be a point where you don't just get to write down any number you want. There has to be a walk-away point. And how to navigate that to everything that you just said is the challenge. It's why it's sometimes really, really hard to be a general manager. And by all accounts, Peters, Newmark, and company have navigated these sorts of things very, very well in terms of making everybody feel welcome, part of it, contracts, treating people really, you know, decently, just going above and beyond. But still, when you get to a point, if like, you know, the agent probably is going, all right, how about 38? How about 37 or whatever? And the team's going, no, that's ridiculous. Okay, then we can't talk anymore. So who knows who's driving it? But there has to be a point where you say, we think all these things too. And we know this would do some damage. But these demands are so, I don't know, it negates our ability to add talent in a window that's going to be wide open starting in 2026, 27, and beyond.
The best GMs are GMs that can tell the owner no. When the owner, who's a fan, says,
yeah,
we need this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't give Strasburg $245 million with his arm history at his age. You know, that's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having a convo about Kobe Bryant after his Achilles. And it was insane to me to kind of do what they did moving forward from a just
team building, yeah,
robotic standpoint. This does not make sense. But I know at the time, everyone's point was, well, that's not how this works. It's Kobe Bryant. He's Mr. Laker. Look at the championships. And Terry McLaurin, who has no hardware outside of, you know, a run through the playoffs last year to the NFC title game when he was unbelievable. This is nothing like that, right? I'm not suggesting that. But I guess my point is, it's real easy for me years ago to say, you got to be a robot. That isn't the way sports work, which are about people and locker rooms work. So the question for you guys is, if we're going to go with some of Schefter's numbers and suggest McLaurin wants somewhere between $32 and $33 million, something like that, and the team wants him down closer to $25 million, and they're at a standoff where they're not close, who would you side with? And could you take the front office's side again? A lot of you have just decided, we're not questioning anything or anybody because they're really good at what they do. But now, your favorite player is involved.
So our very own J.P. Finlay, John Paul Finley, Jorge Posada Finley, Jasper Parnevik Finley.
Oh, that's a golf reference.
Thank you. James Pierce Finley.
Okay. Juan-Pierre?
Juan-Pierre Finley tweeted, shout out JP, the following. Commanders announced 6 training camp days for fans. Open practices for all fans on July 27th, 29th, August 2nd. Season ticket members on July 28th, July 31st, and August 4th. So, I love the Harris Ownership Group, okay? I do. I am a rational, reasonable human being. Because I'm a sentient human being, I get how much better this is than before. They are awesome. I love this. I don't know if this is a Josh Harris, Mitch Rales thing. I don't know if this is a Dan Quinn thing. I don't know if it's an Adam Peters thing. I don't know if it's a PR thing. I don't know who to be mad at. But to this, I say boo. I say boo to this. I wish there were more days. I understand that season ticket holders, and they're trying to encourage season tickets. They're a business, and I get what they're doing. I get that the season ticket holders, Tobes, have 6 different practices they can go to. My view on this, and I know it's not easy, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing something. To me, you need more. You are still in a friend-raising phase. You're still in a building phase with this fan base. Last year was awesome. I had fun, too. I want to have more fun. I love you guys. You're doing so much right. This, to me, is a miss. And again, I don't know who to blame, so I don't want to speak out of school and say Harris is being selfish. I have no idea if it's his call or not. I don't know where the buck stops with open practices. It may be a Dan Quinn thing. I don't know. I want more. They're on the low end of where pro teams, or where the NFL teams, rather, have in terms of access in those deals. And for fans, that's a big deal, especially for folks that can't necessarily afford or are able to, you know, throw money in the coffers to go to all the games.
Yeah, I mean, you hear so many people, fans that'll call in, especially when Doc or B-Mitch is on and they're talking about, hey, I saw you up in Carlisle, or I saw you playing at training camp and I got to talk to you and I got an autograph or whatever it may be. I interacted with you, and I get that they're not going anywhere. They're just in Ashburn. Maybe this is different if they're down in Richmond again or if they're going somewhere else, wherever it may be. But I feel like from my time going down to spring training and seeing this with the Nationals and having been able to cover a couple of training camps, you see the difference in the players from regular season to preseason to training camp and spring training and being able to have the interactions. And it's so meaningful because for so many people, just speaking for myself, I never went to training camp growing up, and being a fan of the team and watching, they seem larger than life. Right, they seem like people that you could never have the opportunity to meet, and they're the coolest thing ever. And having the ability to see them in an environment where they're humanized, where it feels like you can personally interact, even if you never talk to the guy, right? Even if you never shake Jaden Daniels' hand, if you went to training camp and he's walking by and he high-fives someone 30 feet away from you, it feels like he's more personal to you than he ever was before. And I think that's missing. And maybe it's just they don't love the setup with where they're at in Ashburn. And I think it can be a little bit of a nuisance with the fans there and the way that everything works. But they need to figure it out, in my opinion, that you open more than just the 3 practices to the general public. Because you're right. I mean, season ticket holders, they can go to those 3 practices as well as the 3 that are exclusively for the season ticket holders. But it feels like there needs to be more open, because I know immediately people are like, well, they don't, you know, they want to be able to have practices without people there, so they're not giving away stuff. And there's plenty of time for that, Danny. There's other teams that have more. And do you think that those teams are worse because they have fans at the practices? Absolutely not. There are ways that you can go about this. And it's not as if they're on July 27th putting in the most complex play you've ever seen that's going to somehow win them a game against Dallas in week 15. That's not what's happening. So I don't love this. I don't. I understand the reasoning, and I get why, but I think it should be going the other way where you should be finding ways. And once the preseason games start and you're getting closer to the end, maybe it's a little bit different. You close up shop, but at the beginning of training camp, come let the fans interact and see that, have that personal connection with the team that you're not able to have otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, some of my favorite memories are, you know, as a kid,
going with my dad on he took a day off and we'd go do it. Or when I'm in my 20s, I could take a day off and do it myself. And I'm sitting there like staring at LeVar Arrington being like, oh, my God, like this is incredible. I saw you jump over the line of scrimmage. And there's Champ Bailey who played, you know, both ways at Georgia. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Those are incredible things. And that's worth a lot of that devotion. So I want you, Washington, to be among the league leaders just by quick Google search. Cincinnati's got 8 open practices to the public. New Orleans has 9. There you go. Be among those. Be among those. Do too much and then go, you know what? We don't need 9. We can get by with 7. And again, I understand you're trying to incentivize season tickets. I know where the business is. I have my head eyes wide open here. If you want to say we're going to do 5 plus the season ticket thing, so for people that are doing what we'd like them to do, customer behavior-wise, you can have as many as 8. Okay? I understand that. But to me, down there at 3, I think is a missed opportunity. I think this is a self-own, an own goal, whatever the you hip kids say on the interwebs when you're talking to each other and your TikToks. That's what this is to me. This is an area where I fundamentally disagree with them. Is it a huge deal? I don't know if it's a huge deal, but it's a deal to me. Because like this is one of those, you guys in with the ownership group, if you can hear me, you probably can't, but if you can, you're obviously so smart. You're obviously so with it. You obviously are doing right by people on a daily basis, and it oozes out of the organization. I happen to know a couple of folks that aren't in football ops that work in the org, and they're like, it's like you want to go to work. People are happy. You guys are doing that, and you're doing an amazing job, and we are forever indebted to you for ridding us of that tyrant and being stable, competent, smart, friendly, well-meaning ownership, right? Even if that means that you guys are looking to make money. We're all adults. We can figure that out. We get that, right? This, to me, is a miss. This, to me, is an easily fixable miss. It's going to require a lot of effort from people, but it's just not their paradigm right now. Again, I don't know who to blame, but this needs to be one of those times. If the football ops folks, and I know winning is the priority, and a lot of people roll their eyes and be like, you won't care when they win. To a degree, this is one of those things, to your point, if you're worried about intel leaking out, if you're worried about somebody capturing something, tweeting something, whatever, then take a step. Then move towards certain things. You can decide those 4 or 5 days that are open to the public, that's not install time. We're going to do the install at the afternoon walkthrough when nobody's around, right? We're going to make sure there's no drones, make sure nobody's got a cell phone, nobody's got any kind of those little old flips that used to be video cameras that people were using for a while that now have kind of gone out of style. I have one, but it doesn't charge anymore, and it's a bummer because I actually really liked the video quality on it. It was super easy. It just plugged in a USB to your computer. You could upload footage in like a matter of minutes, and now like it won't charge anymore. It's like I'm not going to get it fixed because what's the point of that? Because nobody uses them. You got a cell phone. Point of the dude's story is you can keep your secrets and still have more of these things. It just requires planning and effort, and I think it's a miss. And, you know, is it enough to change my opinion of ownership? No. Is it enough to say these guys aren't doing a good job? Not at all. Is it enough to turn on Dan Quinn or whoever? Of course not. But it's one of those things where I can't let you not do something because it might be a little bit harder or because it might not be your proclivity. This is fan service. And I think that's something that needs to be always at the forefront, always at your core.
I didn't realize how cool it was, Danny, because I didn't grow up going to training camps. The first one I went to was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago when one of the first times I went covering training camp, and I went to one of the days as a fan with my buddy, and it was so eye-opening. Like 2 years ago was the first time I went down to spring training, and seeing those sorts of environments is just so different. So if you're a fan and you've never been, you don't even have as much of an opportunity to go. And if you're a fan and you've gone, I'm sure you have the same connection that we talked about where it's just a totally different experience. No, you're not watching real football, quote unquote, but it's your guys. It's the guys that you root for. It's the guys that you care about. And it just makes them feel more personable to you. And one of the things that I think is really cool that they're doing this year is they're going to have the Ravens in town for joint practices.
Yes.
That's going to be on August 21st, it looks like, according to the Ravens website. That isn't open. And I can understand that one to an extent. That's later on and all that stuff. But still, like those sorts of opportunities to see Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels on the field together. Danny, I got tickets to go watch that game last year. I had to buy them before the season
because me and my buddies, I had some Ravens fans who were going out to Baltimore to watch the game together. That was like the most sought after ticket to that point in the NFL season. Lamar versus Jaden. You could watch that and those two guys on the same football field for free, just chilling out in Ashburn, sitting in some bleachers, but it's not open. That's just easy stuff that I think you're missing a little bit. And it's not like people aren't going to be fans because of this. It's not like they're not going to buy jerseys because of this. It's just an easy win to make it a little bit more personable to me. Maybe they don't care about that. Maybe they don't. But I think it's a little bit of a miss here for this. And generally, they've hit home runs with everything, but I think this one's a little bit of a miss.
Yeah, Denver's got 13 open practices. You know, I don't know, man. I just if you're middle of the pack, I wouldn't think twice about it. Like, that's among the fewest in the NFL. Are you okay with that? 800-636-1067. I think we can dispense with the, do you like the Harris ownership group or not? Right? I think everybody's on board. Yes. Right? We're good. The balance sheet is so overwhelmingly positive. The team is overwhelmingly going in the right direction. Adam Peters is overwhelmingly popular. Dan Quinn also, correctly so. This is not to say, like, I'm angry, fire somebody, or I'm angry, someone's got to be punished for this. No. This is just couldn't you do a little bit better here? Couldn't you do better by your fans here? And I think it's so close. I think if they had five open to the public plus the three season ticket ones, I wouldn't bat an eye. I'd go, yeah, I could use another date or two, but whatever. But when you start going around the league, and I literally just Googled it for 2 seconds, and I just found a couple that I know have a lot more, and I'm like, maybe you could have gotten away with it in the 80s when you're a juggernaut, and if you don't go to the NFC title game, fans went, that's fine, we're going next year, and you did. We need to win some people back, man. The name changed. Well, we're fighting an uphill climb, you know?
And that's an interesting point, too, in that I grew up in a time frame when none of my friends were fans of this team. Redskins, football team, Commanders. Nobody was fans of this team. So you could get people my age and younger to come be back fans of this team that live in the area that maybe are just football fans. Because, by the way, that's something that is happening now that I think is crazy. You see it from time to time because people just care about fantasy football more and other things. Is they don't necessarily have a team as much as they just love a kind of NBA style fandom where they love players and you could get people on board just by doing these sorts of things. And I don't know. I mean, Jill says in the comments here on YouTube that they were lucky to get tickets. This is the hardest training camp to get tickets this year. I don't like that.
Yeah, me neither.
Right? I just don't like that. And maybe they don't care. I wouldn't say that they don't. They've just done so well in everything else. It's just a little bit odd when so much of the stuff you would look at and say, that is positive for the fans, that is positive, they've done great. This is the one thing that I'd look at and say, I don't know if you're doing the best thing for the fans in this instance.
I think it's that simple. 800-636-1067. So we've all got our minimum baseline here, right, where the ownership group is good. Adam Peters, good. Dan Quinn, good. Jaden Daniels, special and wonderful. You don't have to qualify it when you call us, okay? We all know that, and if you don't feel that way, I guess you could share that too. But on this specific thing, are they missing the boat? Is this a swing and a miss? 800-636-1067 is the phone number. 800-636-1067. Are you bummed that there are three dates for non-season ticket holders? This shouldn't be the kind of thing where somebody wants to go and can't. Life happens. I'm sure we'll get like the fan tough guy that says one of a couple things. I don't care about any of this. I just want them to win on Sunday. You're allowed to think that's fine. For a lot of us, it's a great touch point to build fandom with the team. Others will say you got to drop everything and go on one of those days. Okay, I suppose. But again, so someone with kids, like it, I don't. My schedule's not my own anymore. You know, I'm doing the best I can. So to me, it should, like, you should not have a circumstance where somebody would want to go, would try to go, and can't. Like, that to me is inexcusable for a team in their position.
It's so expensive to go to a game.
Yeah.
It's one thing to come to a Nats game and you could maybe ride the Metro down here and then you could get tickets for probably $15. And if you just want to be careful and not eat a lot, maybe you spend $10, $15 on food. A day like today, I think they're doing $5 hot dogs and drinks and stuff. So you could come down here and make it a semi-affordable day. You can't do that at a Commanders game. You're spending $60, $70 on parking. If you want to take the Metro, you're walking a mile in and a mile back, And your cheapest ticket you're finding is well over $100 unless you're going to a preseason game. So it's just a big miss to me because some people aren't going to be able to get over to Landover to watch a game. This could be their opportunity to see the team, and they're not going to be able to because there's so few dates.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.